Hartford to Stratford, from Westport to Wilton, Fairfield County listens to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
It's the day before election, and we're doing a blackout on candidates for obvious reasons. Tomorrow's election day. Don't forget to vote. But joining us now is somebody who really and truly knows the political pathways and byways of Connecticut better than anybody else I know. Tom Dutchick of CTCapitalReport.com. Whoever's winning, whoever's losing, he already knows what is going to happen before it even happens. Tom, welcome back to the show. I miss you, my friend. How are you?
Lisa, thank you for that very kind intro. You know, that last caller you had, I mean, you know, there's 2020 in a microcosm. I mean, we have an incredibly polarized electorate. And, you know, I think we'll see record turnout tomorrow, and I think that's good for democracy. But, I mean, it's been a wild ride, Lisa.
Well, let's put it this way. It's good for democracy with the big but and hope that whatever it is peaceful, because one of the things we've always prided ourselves on as a nation, Tom, is a peaceful transition of power. And, you know, whoever wins has to suck it up. I mean, whoever loses has to suck it up and move on. And so do their supporters. They've got to suck it up and move on. And the fear is that no matter who loses, the other side is not going to take it well. That's the fear.
All right. Well, let's break down some Connecticut races here, since that's what I do, and we can talk a lot about. Everyone talks about these, the national races and Trump, Biden, but I'm focused on home, and Lisa, I'm even focused on 2022 right now, and I'm looking forward to getting this election past me, and we're moving right into a Richard Blumenthal election should he decide to run again, and also a Ned Lamont run. So here we go. Here's what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on the fact that the state Senate, which is currently 22-14. If they pick up two more seats, if the Democrats pick up two more seats in the Senate, they will have a veto-proof majority of Democrats in the Senate.
Way.
Now, that is really, really important because the Lamont administration, which is more moderate Democrats than most of the progressives that are in the Senate right now, and it could be more progressive, they don't want a supermajority in the Senate. They want to be able to veto some of the things that they think would come down the pike, whether it's anti-business, there's tax the rich kind of these liberal agendas, progressive agendas. So let's watch really careful a bunch of races across the state of Connecticut. In the 17th senatorial, it's Cabrera versus Logan. George Logan won by a slight, it was maybe like 50 votes last time in the election. The 17th kind of is Woodbridge and Hamden. It could go either way. George is the first African-American member of the Senate who's a Republican. That can go either way. That could be a pickup. You look at Formica versus Marks here in Eastern Connecticut. Marks lost with 48% of the vote. She lost by only 1,500 votes. Many people think she's going to bring that district back to the Democrats. And then if you look in New Britain, which is traditionally a Democratic a stronghold, although they have a Republican mayor in Aaron Stewart, the best name in the entire state Senate, Gennaro Bazzaro versus Rick Lopes. Rick Lopes, very progressive union leader. So there's three races, and then you maybe they'll throw in Tony Wang down there in your neck of the woods.
He barely made it the last time. Although he was endorsed by Hearst Media, I don't know if that means anything anymore.
Yep. So
but
you know,
yes,
with a lot of talk about the suburban women vote this time of election. Fairfield, although Brenda Kupchick, a Republican, Fairfield and the suburbs have become more and more blue throughout, if you look at the Greenwich race with Alex Kasser, who returned that seat last time around. So, there could be some coattails. The last time there were coattails was in 2008 when Obama won the state by 61% of the vote, and the GOP only had 37 seats in the House and 12 seats in the Senate. That's the worst showing the state Republicans had since 1974, post Watergate. So besides the national implications of this, there are a lot of local stuff to watch. Eight of the 38 Senate races, Lisa, are all do-overs, so people want to run again, and 26 of the 151 seats in the House are also do-overs, so a lot of people can't get the politics out of their bloodstream. They got to run again.
So let's go back to the Senate. Are there any seats that, for example, Alice Kasser finishing her first term, is her opponent likely to unseat her?
Well, for most of my friends down in Greenwich, I'm sure you're hearing the same thing too. There's been a certain amount of buyer's remorse from Senator Kassler and a lot of her really progressive views. But having said that, as we talked about, the suburbs are becoming more progressive. They're becoming bluer. So her opponent is a little bit green. Maybe in a couple terms, doesn't have the name ID and the ability to marshal the forces that yep. Senator Kassler does.
She spent a fortune of money last time around. She spent $250,000 of her own money to beat Scott France. I don't know if the money is being thrown at the race this time that it was the last time.
Yeah, so we'll see. I know the Republicans tell me that they think they can pick her off. My friends on the ground in Greenwich tell me probably not, but we'll see. So there's a lot of fascinating races on there, and the implications of a Biden victory. I mean, Senator Murphy said that if he were offered Secretary of State, that's one of the jobs that he would take. And that would open up the seat, and that would be just an incredible free-for-all. There's talk of Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin potentially working for an Obama administration. Many people thought that Congressman Himes would do something there. Okay. Certainly, if Senator Murphy went to work for the administration in role as Secretary of State, I'm sure Congressman Himes would run for that seat, as would pretty much everybody in the state of Connecticut from Bisewitz on down. So a lot of stuff. Maybe your friend Chris Dodd will go to work for for the president, so who knows?
Oh, yeah.
It's all good for us. A lot of interesting stuff going on and a lot of passion in the electorate either way.
So do you think it's good for Connecticut if Biden wins because we have so many people in Connecticut so close to him and his administration potentially that it would bring home some more bacon for Connecticut?
Well, that is unclear. I mean, when you look at what Congressman Courtney did out here in eastern Connecticut for electric boat and the submarine industry, despite the fact that the Republican president was good for the shipbuilding industry, and I think it's unclear as what a President Biden would do, although when I had Congressman Courtney on my TV program, he did say that he believed President Biden would be supportive of the shipbuilding industry. We have a lot of we have Pratt & Whitney in Hartford a lot of jobs to be moved down to the Carolinas. So it's still a question mark of how good that's going to be for a Connecticut economy.
So where do we stand? So just a couple of seats would have to flip Democrat
just
for
two.
The Senate
two.
To be
just
vetoed.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
If they held on to what they have and flip two, then that would basically give them what they call a supermajority in the Senate, and they could basically run the table with Senator Marty Looney, who does have a progressive agenda through the years, to run the table, and Governor Lamont would not be able to veto anything, assuming that the Democrats all vote in lockstep.
And what about the House? How does the House look?
Well, the Republicans in the House have an incredibly long way to go to even get close. I think they would be elated if it was a push in the House and wins versus loss. Everyone expects to see more Republican losses in the state House. I don't think that we talked about text of potentially the next Speaker Ritter. I'm not sure he wants a supermajority either. That's a lot of mouths to fill when you feel that you have when you have an incredible majority that believe they can do what they want.
Right, right. So that's really interesting. So what you're saying is, of course, you won't put words into the governor's mouth, but the idea is that for Governor Lamont to get the real agenda that he's in favor of, he doesn't want to have his party have all the balls in Hartford, because then it makes them harder to do any kind of negotiating at all.
Well, yeah, and especially the kind of people that are running that would unseat some of the more moderate members, some of the more moderates or the Republicans, that there would be a more progressive Democratic Senate. I mean, it's pretty progressive as it is, but with a few more really progressives, I think you may see a lot of different things going on in the legislature next session. But we'll see. Long way to go.
Who is going to replace Joe Arasemowitz as the Speaker of the House? Is it going to be Ritter?
It would be Matt Ritter.
And who is going to replace Len Fasano as the minority leader in the Senate?
There would be a race there between Kevin Kelly and Kevin Witkos. So, and maybe one more may jump in, but that one is going to be an interesting race to see who gets that. It'll be like the dog that caught the car. I mean, I'm not sure you want to be
Kevin
a minority
Kelly
leader.
Is from the Stratford area,
Stratford,
right?
Yes, Kevin. Yes.
But I don't know where Kevin Witkos is from.
He's from around Hartford, around Simsbury.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. All right, Tom Dutchick, ctcapitalreport.com. When do you anticipate that Connecticut, given all the absentee ballots, when do you think that we'll really know the shakeout of our down ballot races tomorrow?
Well, I think, you know, the down ballot races, I think we'll pretty much know. And I mean, I remember last election cycle, and I remember when Lamont was running, and we were sitting doing my TV program, and Bob Stefanowski had a significant lead. And I remember hearing from my friend who's a Democratic analyst on panel with me, Roy Okagrosa, who said, this race is in the bag. The big cities haven't come in yet. Everyone has told me pretty much what the votes are and what it's looking like. The race is over. And it, as it turned out, it was. So I think the people who are the insiders, they know where things will be. And they'll also know if some races are close enough that we are going to have to wait for the absentee ballot to be counted. But for the most part, most of the races aren't as squeaky as people think they would be.
Okay. Well, notwithstanding that, I'm sure George Logan may not agree with you. He'll be counting every last vote tomorrow in Ansonia.
He'll be counting every vote. You're right. But the vast majority of the races, and don't forget, we live in an incredibly gerrymandered state. So most of these seats are pretty Republican or pretty Democrat.
And as far as 2022, is anybody rumbling? I mean, I know Themis Claridis for sure.
Right, Themis Claridis, Bob Stefanowski again. And then now the question is whether Ned Lamont decides to run for a second term.
Oh, you don't think it's inevitable that he will be?
Well, you never know, Lisa. I mean, I remember when I worked for Governor Weicker many, many years ago, and he had suffered a defeat in a race against Senator Lieberman, and he didn't want to end his career on a losing note, so he ran for governor, won, and then after 4 years, he goes, okay, check that box off. I did what I had to do, got the state on good fiscal footing, despite what many people may think about the income tax, and that was it. And then he was young enough to do other things in his life, pretty much around the same age that Ned Lamont is right now. So the question that Ned Lamont would have to ask is whether he is satisfied with his legacy in the state of Connecticut. He's done, by the way, all accounts, an incredible job with the pandemic. After a horrible run with the tolls, as you remember, which is probably the number one topic on your program for many, many, many months. His approval rating is incredibly high. His marks for handling the pandemic is incredibly high. So the question is, what does 4 more years get him?
I see. Right, maybe he'd rather swap it out and become in the Senate, the U.S. Senate. Who knows?
No, who knows? But it will provide many, many hours of stimulating talk radio for you, Lisa, in the next 2 years, I suspect.
Absolutely. All right, Tom Dutchick, ctcapitalreport.com. We're going to be watching your website minute to minute for the latest in what happens here in Connecticut every day.
Thanks, Lisa.
Tom.
Look forward to being back with you again.
You bet. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show. Your chance to call 203-333-9422.